friendly. But you put me in a hospital, man, I'm like a fish out of water. I don't know what to do. But I have a friend that has a fire for it. He'll pray for you at a drop of a hat. He'll even drop the hat. If he hears you're going to the hospital, he'll beat you there. After 5 minutes with him, you feel like you can go home. He's better than medicine. I mean, you'd rather have him come visit you than me. Because while I'm praying, I'm thinking, man, I hope what happens to you never gets on me. I mean, that's what I'm thinking. Now, God, he can put a fire in my heart if he wants for that, and he can if he wants to. But until he does that, how many times? It's okay. I quit beating myself up over faith for things that I don't have faith for and just started concentrating on the things that I do have faith for. That's what Ephesians 4:16 says. It says, the effectual working in the measure of every part. And all it says is you're to become effective in the measure that's in your part. The measure is your life. The part is your house or your dark land. And all God requires of me is to become effective in the measure that's in my part. If I try to move into your part, whatever I do from my head. I don't do from my heart. Does that make sense? What is the fire that consumes you, that enlightens you, that burdens you? Is it forgotten orphans? Is it the plight of the unborn? Is it untouched nations? Is it the inner city? Is it the sick? Is it the confused? If you don't have a fire, it's because you never allowed the Holy Spirit to draw you to some dark void place where you hovered. Or you might have and nothing happened. All that means is next time you get to go to a prison, you may not want to go, but go. Who knows? That may be your dark land. Next time you're invited to picket in front of an abortion clinic, go. You don't know. Maybe that's your dark land. Next time you're invited on a short-term mission trip to Guadalajara, Mexico, go. Who knows? It may be your dark land. When it says, let your light shine, it's talking about allowing the Lord to start a fire in your heart that produces a light that will effectively penetrate the darkness. If you have no light, it's because you've never allowed the Holy Spirit. Let me close by just telling you this last thing. I'm going to tell you how I got a fire for prison ministry. Just real quick, you would think somebody who was in prison for 8 years, would want to minister in prisons for the rest of his life. No. When I got paroled, if I never saw another prison, it would have been too soon. And if I'd have saw another convict, it would have been too soon. I went to Bible school in Gainesville, and I did everything I could to rid myself of all the residue of prison. I had a high school teacher come in and tutor me in my grammar. I had a speech pathologist come in and tutor me in the way I enunciate my words and pronounce them. I had someone teach me how to dress because I was 8 years behind time. When I went into prison, people wore bell bottoms. When I got out, they wore three-piece suits. I had someone teach me how to have proper etiquette. I had no social skills. I was socially retarded. I was in a habit of eating my meal in 5 minutes because that's how fast you had to eat in prison. And when you're out on a date and they're just still working on their salad and you're burping because you're done, I mean, it's embarrassing. And I never told anybody I was in prison. Didn't want anybody to know. I wanted to be a respectable pastor. That's before I realized pastors don't get any respect. And so I went to this Bible school, and God allowed me to be successful. Within a year, I was a youth pastor, and our youth group doubled in 6 months, and all of a sudden, I started getting invitations all over the country to go and speak to other churches and teach them how to be effective in their youth. Went to conferences where I preached to thousands, and yet I was empty. I was miserable. I'd come back from this effective, things happened, but I would be so miserable, unfulfilled. And I couldn't figure it out. It got so bad that I quit going to church for 3 weeks. Probably would have been longer if something didn't happen. Now, you know, it's bad when the youth pastor doesn't go to church. Now, when they called me, I lied to them. Now, I know none of you lie, but other Christians did. That's why Paul told the Ephesians, quit lying to one another. And I lied and said I wasn't feeling well, and I really wasn't spiritually, but I let them believe that there was something physically wrong with me. Someone said that a lie is an abomination to the Lord and an ever-present help in a time of need. But I'm sorry, I don't believe that. I just thought it was cute to say. And then some of you are just wishing them shut up because it's a quarter after and I'm just about done. But I want to illustrate this point for you. I was miserable. My best friend, Jim Britnow, who had been in prison with me and who had kept my secret that I wasn't in prison because he never wanted anybody to know he was in prison at first either. He noticed I hadn't been in church, and so on the third week, he came out to where he saw I wasn't there, drove out to where I was, came into my house. I'm laying in my bed feeling sorry for myself. He comes walking in the room, he comes walking right up to me, and he sticks his finger right in my face, and he says, "You'll never be happy till you get involved in prison ministry." I almost bit that thing off, man. That was the last thing I wanted to hear, you know? I mean, tell me why I'm not happy, but don't tell me I need to be involved in prison. And he left. He just left me there with that thought. And so I started considering, maybe it's God. I was hoping it wasn't, but maybe it is. And so I called up the local work release center and asked him. I says, "Listen, do you allow any ministers to come out there and teach a Bible study?" He said, "Well," he said, "some of the guys have been wanting to do that. Nobody's ever volunteered. Yeah, come on out on Monday." I said, "Okay." So I was just going to go out. But what I did is I hovered, drew close to the darkness. There wasn't anything in me that wanted to go there. I was doing it because Jim Britnow, my best friend, stuck his finger in my face and challenged me. So I went out there. Only three people came to the Bible study. I sat there and I taught them from the Word. And a fire, God said, "Let there be light." A fire started raging within me. I was burdened. I caught a snapshot of God's of darkness. And then from that moment, 3 weeks later, I resigned my position. I moved to Inverness, Florida, started laying sod for a living so that I could be 10 miles close or near the prison that I had been in for 8 years. And I went there and started doing a Bible study on Monday nights. Eventually became associate pastor of a church nearby, but I went there. I gave up everything. I mean, only a fire will cause you to do that. Gave up everything. Because I had a fire. But I'm telling you, the only way you can get it is to allow the Holy Spirit to cause you to hover. Let's stand together. Let's pray. Father, I pray right now. Lord, I'm not going to give a response. Lord, I know these here need to respond to you, and I'm asking that you would use this message, that you would use this word, Lord, to challenge us, to challenge those who can't point to a fire in their heart, a burden. Lord, that you would use this to motivate them, to allow your Spirit to draw them close to some place that is dark, some place that is void. And Lord, it's my prayer that if they do, that you would speak out of eternity, "Let there be light." Lord, and a fire will rage, a light will be produced, and darkness will be effectively penetrated. Lord, I pray. Lord, we're in an hour. There are dark lands out there who want to see a light. They'll come to it. Lord, help us to have enough courage to move out of the safety of this port and out into the ventures of the sea. Lord, I pray this for each and every one of us. In Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. God bless you as you go.